vinyl. This analogue wonder, a beautiful flat disc perfectly crafted to store sound and play it right back out at us again. Sounds that reflect and remind us of magic moments in our lives, sometimes evoking memories of family or friends past and present, sometimes just giving us a banging tune to boogie round the room to. Yes, you can listen to music on other formats, of course, from compact discs to your computer or even your mobile phone, but it just isn't the same. Or at least that's what I found out when I gathered a group of self-confessed obsessive vinyl fans around a record player in the perfect environment of Sound Record Store, with the goal of sharing their passion for this ever-enduring format and playing some of their favourite discs from their impressive collections. Welcome to Vinyl Virtues.
Oh, it's suddenly gone very quiet. I think they've noticed that I've started recording. Just to set the scene, there are a number of people in Sound Records downstairs in the basement of what was the Peter Louis building. I suppose to start with, I should say hello to Jack. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Christine.
And tell us about the setup. Just describe where we're sitting right now.
We're sitting right in the middle of the shop. I've sort of moved everything to the side, put the coffee table out, put some chairs out around the turntable up there. Vinyl records all around us in the shop.
And how has it gone since you opened then?
Yeah, really good. I've been quite blown away by it, really. First few weeks it was like really, really busy, and then it's just been steady ever since. Always getting new people and getting regulars back, which is good to see. Yeah, it's good.
And when people come in, do you find that they are more interested in looking for, you know, sort of old vinyl, or are they after the new stuff?
Bit of both, really. I guess it depends who's in. Like, the span of people that come in is like really everyone, the young to the old to the middle to people with the kids to and the older people coming in just reminiscing, really. But I'm trying to get all the new stuff in all the time. People are asking stuff, requesting stuff, and I'm getting it in, and people are blown away by like the old stuff which they thought they'd never see again.
How easy is it to get hold of some of the old stuff? Because it seems like now with, you know, sort of everything is online and you've got your Discogs, you've got eBay, you've got all these different places like that. Is it easy now to get hold of stuff?
To a certain extent. I mean, they've repressed a lot of stuff as well, so that makes it easier to get. It depends what you're willing to pay for it as well, but some things are still rare.
Cool. We will talk about rarities soon. But I'm just going to introduce you to the people that are around the table, or rather let them introduce yourselves. Who have we got here?
Hi, I'm Simon Ray. How are you doing, Christy?
I'm well, thank you, Simon. Now, I suggested you might be a good person to come down to talk in this first sort of vinyl party, or whatever it is we're calling it, because you are a fan, aren't you?
Man of me vinyl, yes. Yes, I have been all my life.
What was the first vinyl record that you bought?
I've just been talking to Gippo. It was B.A. Robinson, To Be or Not To Be. It was 75 pence from the chocolate box. I asked my dad for a sub to go and get it. And it was right next to the Snap Crisps. It was B.A. Robinson. I took it home and played it to death. It says you like it, you know. To me,
there could not be another. And what we have done today is we've asked each of you, we'll introduce the others in a minute, we've asked each of you to bring down some vinyl. So while I'm beside you here, Simon, what have you brought?
Well, I've been up all night. I've split it into like three into two, kind of going the really cool stuff that everyone goes, oh, Simon, oh, what's he got? Oh my, first.
Well, what are those?
No, I didn't bring those.
No, but tell us what they are. What would you class as being really cool?
I've got the first pressing of Laughing Stock Talk, which was out of press for a long, long time, and it's only just come back into repress, which really did me nothing. But actually, it's not 180 gram vinyl, and it sounds terrible because I've got actually five copies of Laughing Stock, and the more recent it gets, the worse the quality is. So the first pressing is the best pressing. If it was a fire, that was the record I would grab because it's very, very precious. Not so much the money; it's just it was on the cusp. 1991, when vinyl was just on the way out and everyone was going, oh, it's compact discos now. So I think there was only like a couple of thousand of the pressing. So I was very lucky from getting it. From Shox.
Oh, I remember
Shox.
Shox.
Oh, the mecca.
Okay, so you have brought a brown envelope.
Well, what I've done is I've done something that one of my first records. It wasn't my, this is my parents. And this is the very first song that I started playing. It's actually the B-side I played to death. It's Aquamarina from the Stingray. actually one of my favourites, still one of my favourite songs of all time ever.
I had a crush on Aquamarina. Still do. I've called her, but she doesn't. She can't talk. So if you're out there, Aqua, text me. If someone said, "What is the song you go to heaven with?" It was either Souvenir by OMD or it's this fella. Oh. And I think this will win.
Well, bring it up then, Simon Ray. Let's hear Aquamarina. I wasn't expecting to hear this today, but what a beautiful suggestion it is.
Yeah, it's just let me...
It's on 33 at the minute,
by the way. It's on 33. I'm going to change it to 45. Is it on? Yeah, it's on 4. Okay.
Marina, Aquamarina.
Oh, that's gorgeous, and hearing the harp actually, as well at the end.
Yeah, it's not the end credits version. The end credit version is only about 30 seconds long, and it has this really big swell. But that, I was just, oh man, I used to play it over and over, and there was this girl, and her name was Terry, and she had the same hair as Aquamarina, and it was my sister's friend, and I fell for her. I used to sing that. I went to a house with a box of Terry's All Gold because her name was Terry, and I thought that'd be quite romantic, get some of the chocolates with a name on it. And I knocked on the door, and she opened the door, she took the chocolates and closed the door on me again. I'm filling up now. I cried to that song.
Oh, you big romantic Simon Ray. Yeah, so Lance, you reacted in quite a big way to that.
I've never heard it before, but I got a little bit of emotion in the middle.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of something, but I don't know what. Which is strange, but it'll probably come to me at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
But that's the thing about music, isn't it? Like, it reminded me of a track called Venus. Well, I don't know if it's called Venus, but a guy, similar thing to that, a guy came up to me in a party once and he was really drunk and he sang at me, Venus make her fair,
oh,
a lovely
song.
Girl with sunlight in her hair. Yeah. And I started dating him a week later. But there you go. And that reminds me of that, actually. And again, it brings back the memory of it, sort of memorotions, I used to call them as a kid, because it's a memory attached with an emotion, isn't it? And you sort of get it and you feel the memory, which is just, that was beautiful, Simon.
That is like, that should be made into gold.
Wouldn't play as well, I don't think.
And hung around my neck.
You see, this is what this is all about, people sharing the love of music. And Chip, sorry, first of all, just say hello and say who you are.
Hi, Christy. Chip again. I run Ballygroove Recording Studios.
That just inspired you to go to your vinyl box. What have you got?
It's a gold vinyl.
Boom.
It's a lemon jelly. 7-inch that comes in a Hessian sack.
Dude!
Oh.
What year?
I can be no more specific than sometime in the past. Honestly, can't remember when it was. It's another lemon jelly one that comes in a pair of jeans. It also has something in the pocket.
Oh! Safety first.
Which maybe not for radio.
Have you tried to play that? Does that work?
The records are fantastic. They're both really, really good.
So you say it wasn't released, so how on earth did you get hold of these?
They were really, really limited.
Promos.
Promos, yeah. I don't know if it's strange. I don't know if all the record collectors are similar, but I can't buy records online. I can't just go to Discogs and buy a record because it just doesn't do it for me. I've got to find it in a shop. Or, you know, it's kind of cheating, but each to their own, you know, it's fine. But I like to, so like that, the Spaceman 3 one I was talking about the other week, I'd waited, I think that was released in 1989, so I'd waited 29 years to find a copy, and then eventually found a copy in Castletown.
That's my Castletown
story, yeah. I loved it.
And the satisfaction must have been huge.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been waiting for it for a very long time, and there's just one to get now. So, which is impossible to find anywhere.
I don't know. So, Jack might be on a bit of a mission for you here.
Across the air sometime.
It's for me. It's kind of like the difference between if you want to hear a piece of music, you can either just because you're probably on the internet or got your phone or you sat at a computer and you can just go on Spotify and listen to it, which is not satisfying. Whereas going through all your records and finding it and then putting it on a record player and listening to it is just ultimately more satisfying.
I love its restrictions.
Yeah.
The very fact that you put the album on and you know you got 15 to 19 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you've got you're focused. You can't go out because you know you're going to
Yeah.
You don't want to ruin your needle.
So and you look at the sleeve.
It's the whole process. Yeah. The whole process. And just getting your fingers just right so they got no marks on it.
Well, Jip, since you are here with the two records on your lap, just tell us what they are, and then what we'll do is we'll bring one over to the decks and put one on.
Well, this is it's an unusual choice. It's not obtuse for the purpose, but it's Ships of the Mersey. So what it is, it's a record, and well, it's 2 7-inch singles. And my granddad, it's one side of my family from Liverpool, and my granddad worked on the docks in Liverpool, and they were given these records. And what they do is they play the horn from a boat, and then they identify the boat so that the people who worked on the docks knew what the boats were that were coming in. And when I listened to these when I was a kid, it just, I don't know, there was something magical about them. It was like, why have you got a record that just has boat horns on? And then I think me, like most people, the speed of a record didn't really matter, because you always listen to it at 16, 33, 45 and 78 just to see which one sounded the best. But I think as time's gone on, these have become really precious, because my granddad's gone now, sadly. So they've become really precious because they're a bit of his history, and they're a bit... It's the idea that records can be something other than just music, And now I've got a big collection of sound effects albums and just weird albums that have all kinds of peculiar things, like the spoken voices from beyond the grave and stuff. And I'm kind of interested in that side of record collecting as well, just finding the weirdest records.
It's what it is, a record of something, isn't it?
Well, let's put that one on, because that's got Manx boats on it.
Ooh,
oh, nice.
So wow. That's got Manana and the Snaefell, the Lady of Man, and the Ben McCree.
He was Prince's Dock, Liverpool, for Belfast. The Lady of Man, built in 1930, has a majestic voice.
Chipper, this is wonderful. It is wonderful and nuts.
You'll have to play them next time he DJs, a mashup or something.
That is brilliant. And do you think that's where you kind of found this, the love of the sort of sound effect stuff as well then?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I was saying before, when you had a single, you'd listen to it at all the different speeds, and you'd put your finger on it and play it backwards. I'd listen to records like that, and I'd tape them. Like onto cassette and take bits of them and try and make up montages and stuff, and the sort of person who does that usually ends up with a recording studio, because most people I've spoken to who did that stuff end up with a record shop or a recording studio, because you couldn't download an app to do it. You had to learn how to make sound effects and how to manipulate sound, so it kind of follows that you would end up doing the sort of job I do. And I know the genesis of it is records like that, so that's why they're really precious to me, even though they sound a little unusual. What fascinates me as well about those records is, how did they record that sound? Mm-hmm. How did they go out on location and record with the sort of massive equipment they would have had in those days? And
good point.
You know, it's to a geek like me, it's really interesting. You know, sound can be so much more than just a 3-minute, four to the floor record. You know, there's more to it, and experimental music, which, you know, is born out of this sort of thing, you know, it informs the mainstream. If you listen to mainstream music now, it wouldn't sound the way it sounded but for experimental music that's been made in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, all sound is interesting, and the fact that that's committed to vinyl means that you know, maybe there'll be someone who hears that who hasn't heard the sound of those boats for 50 years and maybe worked on that boat, you know, and it'll bring back floods of memories, or they move to the Isle of Man on one of those boats, you know.
There's like a historical document element of that one as well. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thanks so much, Jip.
Hi, I'm Lana. I don't really know how to introduce myself apart from I'm a general ligger around music.
Super fan,
just love music. I was in a band, I do play music, play instruments, but I absolutely love music, it's my life. But I'm quite lucky, I've found over the years, for known people, I've been given pretty much most of my collection. And I don't buy online, all the stuff I've got here has been given to me.
But there's something special about that anyway, isn't there? Because then it has a memory attached to it of someone.
Yeah, it does. Every single one, every bit of my collection has a memory. And I love that.
So you've brought a whole number of records here. And I was really mean to you all because I did say I just want you to think of two songs. And it could be either from the same record or two different records, whichever way you want to do it. And I realised that was really, really tricky. But Lance, just talk us through what you have on your lap there, which is, as you know, most people expect it to be, very colourful.
Yes. So I've got Sgt. Pepper by the Beatles. It was the first record given to me by my dad. I think I was about eight. And it was like the best thing ever. I was just like, what is this? And I think the main thing at first was the fact that at the end of the record, it has a sound that only dogs can hear. And I used to play it over and over, you know, for my dog to hear. And then I just got hooked.
Did your dog react?
Oh, she used to go nuts. She'd sit there like that and her head would go and then she'd spin. She'd go crazy. But my love for the Beatles, I was an obsessive from about age 8 till about 11. And then I hit like 13. I started, I met a teacher called Mr. Wright, absolute legend, and he actually gave me one of the records that I've got here.
Which one?
This one, The Doors, Morrison Hotel. And this pretty much another record that changed my life. Yeah. All these ones I've brought, that I brought the Brian Jones Time Asker, because they're my favourite band.
And one of the biggest selling, well, the biggest selling live album ever, I think, still.
Bring this, Frampton Comes Alive. Mm. I just love this album, and it was like, when I was about 12, my brother, we used to play it all the time, but only one song, Do You Feel Like We Do?
Wow.
And
Do
I,
you feel all, like
yes. And I honestly thought, how's that guitar talking? And I'd be like, how is it talking? And for years, I think I was like 15, and I only just found out that it was a tube coming from his, and I did not have a clue. And my brother convinced me for years, yeah, the guitar's talking. And my brother's not even into music. But still to this day, I love listening to it and never felt jealousy in my life. I'm not a jealous person, but I was in bed one night and I saw a picture of Christy with Peter Frampton and Davy Knowles. And I was like, my two friends there with Peter Frampton. And then I read that Christy was singing with him. And I was like, oh my God, what's this feeling that I've got? And I actually felt pure envy. I was like, I want to be there.
Well, what you can say now is that you're one person removed from Peter Frampton. You see, the first album you showed me there, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, one of the reasons I'm really glad you brought that is that one of the things that I think is so beautiful about vinyl, about records, is the artwork. And that is one of the sort of, you know, sort of ultimate sleeves, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful. I had it on my wall for years. I even had, well, this copy I didn't have on the wall. I had an extra copy that I had on the wall. But no, this is the one that my dad gave me, and it's just, I love it.
They fall open to their heads as well.
It's just beautiful.
It's absolutely gorgeous, isn't it? And the idea, as Jack was saying, the idea of having a gatefold and everything as well. And it seems there's something a little bit sad now about, we're talking about online and all the digital stuff and everything, that there isn't that necessity really anymore to sort of go to that effort to create artwork. And it, you're sort of missing that.
Yeah, I just love looking at them all and touching it all. It's just like, I mean, it sounds a bit of a cliche, but when you, if anyone's seen Almost Famous and like he's going through the records and he's just touching them all, that's how I feel with my collection. I'll be like, ooh, and like, oh, I'll just put that on. And I end up just sitting there, and I could sit there all weekend just on my own, like, and just listen to them all. And people think that, you know, I'm a bit mad or whatever, and I'm always out. But I'm actually not. I'm probably one of the most boring people that, like, you'll meet. I just want to be at home with my books and records.
Good woman. And so, Lance, we've already established the fact that you found it very tricky, understandably, to choose just two. We've talked through the records that you did bring. Yeah. If you are going to narrow it down to two, what are they going to be?
It'd have to be from Sgt. Pepper's. I really love, absolutely love Within Without You. Because it was when I was that age, I started appreciating it more when I was around about 11. And that song was just like, ooh, this is a bit new. Because it is quite different to some of the songs on the record. Mm. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, I couldn't choose about that one because I was pretty obsessed with that because it was all the colour and the magical stuff in it. But yeah, Within Without You.
Okay, lift it up, take it over to the decks, let's get it on there.
It just reminds me of nice times.
And that beautiful gatefold as well.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't it? Beautiful. I was going to do Day in the Life, but it goes on forever. And none of us can hear the dog sound, so...
Oh, cheers, buddy.
See if I can have a wife.
Are you really obsessive about taking care of your records?
I do like taking care of them, but I also love listening to them, but I will give them a little wipe after I've listened to them. But I used to have another one of these, but I gave it to one of my best friends. She moved to Australia. I wanted her to have something that I loved, so I gave her Sergeant Pepper. I hope I've done that right. Obviously, I got that when I was 8, and after hearing that song, literally the week after, I started playing cello, and I played it till I was about 16, and then obviously I got into guitars, and that was that.
Lana Kirkham there, closing off the first of our two-part special about the virtues of vinyl, with her choice from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. You also heard the voices of Simon Ray, Jip Begain and Jack Doyle, the proprietor of Sound Records and to whom we are very grateful for letting us take over his Shop of Wonders, which you can find underneath Rehab Squared in the old Peter Louis building in Duke Street, Douglas. Tune in the same time next week to hear the second part of our celebration of the ever-enduring vinyl record, when Jip reveals there's more to his briefcase than meets the eye.
James Bond record player, it's called.
Does it kill people too?
Well, if you put the right record on.
We talk about the universal language of music.
Someone from the other side of the earth, you have nothing in common, you don't know them, put a tune on that you both like and you're friends, there you go.
And each of our guests puts their second choice on the decks. That's the final part of Vinyl Virtue, same time next week with me, Christy DeHaven.